Good afternoon. You're listening to KDNK. It is just about 4:30. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, and welcome to another edition of Valley Voices. Valley Voices is underwritten in kind by Grassroots TV. Well, my guest today is Emily Hornback, Executive Director of Western Colorado Alliance for Community Action, formerly known as Western Colorado Congress. Welcome to the program, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's really nice to be talking to you again.
As well. So glad you invited me on the show.
First of all, why the name change from Western Colorado Congress to Western Colorado Alliance? That happened last summer, did it not?
Just this past June, we finally made the change, and it was kind of brought about by a few different things. One, Western Colorado Congress has been on the western slope of Colorado organizing for social and environmental justice for going on 40 years. And, you know, as an organization reaches that time in its life, sometimes it's good to just check in and see how you're doing with your members and your communities. And we did a pretty thorough check-in process where for a whole year in 2017, we went and did a lot of interviews with members, non-members, local leaders, of both elected leaders and informal leaders, just to see how the organization was doing and how people thought we were doing with our work. And, you know, just kind of realized that the word Congress was a little confusing to folks. It was very clever when we came up with it in the 1980s. And even though the word Congress is really about people coming together to decide things, of course, it's mostly associated with, U.S. Congress. And believe it or not, people often thought we were Representative Tipton's office, and we got a lot of calls from him. And so, yeah, just kind of utilized the opportunity of getting some feedback on the organizing, on the organization, and realizing it was time to, maybe give it a slightly new look, bring us into the next generation of grassroots organizing in Western Colorado, and, clear up the confusion about the name for once and for all. So that was kind of the main change.
Well, now it's formally known as Western Colorado Congress. So hopefully you'll be able to drop the Western Colorado Congress altogether here pretty soon.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, still just keep letting people know it's formerly Western Colorado Congress, so people can understand we're still the same organization and just kind of doing a little brand refresh here.
Right. So what other groups are you working with? I mean, who makes up the alliance?
So Western Colorado Alliance has four main constituent groups that are in Mesa County, which is just simply Western Colorado Alliance in Mesa County, but then also the Uncompahgre Valley Association in Montrose, the Ridgeway Ouray Community Council in Ouray County, and then Grand Valley Citizens Alliance in Garfield, which also includes the Battlement Concerned Citizens in Parachute and Battlement Mesa. So those are our main groups, but we have a lot of unaffiliated members, meaning members who aren't organized into a specific county organization. And so we have members from Rout County all the way down to Durango and all across the state, really. But majority of our membership is always in Western Colorado. So that's our focus.
All right. So did all of these groups, like Mesa County, the one in Mesa, the Uncompahgre Valley Association, the Ridgeway Group, and GVCA, is everybody aligned on the same issues that you're focusing on?
Yeah. The purpose of the reason our organization came into creation in the 80s was to help disparate groups of people in Western Colorado unite for a stronger voice in Western Colorado for social and environmental justice issues. So to be a member group of Western Colorado Congress, you have to, Western Colorado Alliance.
What was the name of that group?
Just comes right out. So to be a member group of Western Colorado Alliance, you have to, agree with our mission and vision statement. That is like the primary grounds for entry into this alliance.
Okay.
So that we're all working for the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's both a mutual aid model because we do provide support to our local affiliate groups on local issues. But more than that, it's about working towards a common vision that all of our groups together hold for a healthy, just, and self-reliant Western Colorado.
Well, I like that. Healthy, just, and self-reliant. I mean, self-reliance is big in this vision. Why?
Well, you know, if for a few different ways, you know, we specifically move to that word rather than, you know, something like sustainability or something along those lines, because one, I think it speaks to the cultural context of rural Western Colorado and our history of individual, you know, rugged individualness, but also it speaks to having economies and environments and communities that aren't necessarily reliant on giant corporate businesses that come in and prop up the economy. You know, it's really believing that we can take care of ourselves in Western Colorado in a healthy and just manner. And we don't want to become resource extraction colonies for somewhere else. You know, that is connected to our long history of an organization of working for balanced use with mineral and energy extraction. And, you know, just realizing that we have a lot of other valuable resources and traditions within and knowledge within our communities that we can use to build a better future for ourselves.
So can you give some examples of some successes you've had in that arena? You know, you called it, and I think it's on the website, Homegrown Prosperity.
Yes, yeah, and that's one of our big program areas, is trying to unite a lot of our work under the idea that we are building homegrown prosperity together from the ground up in Western Colorado. And that encompasses a lot of things, but I think some very tangible examples is our work on the Colorado Cottage Food Law and with local farmers and ranchers, where we're trying to make sure that small family farms can survive in a world that is becoming more and more advantageous to, you know, big corporate meat packers. So with the Colorado Cottage Food Law, and we specifically lifted some regulations in the state that were making it prohibiting people from selling goods directly from their home to consumers. So Colorado Cottage Food Law eased some of the health and food restrictions. It didn't get rid of them. It just kind of created this new situation where people could take food handling courses and pass some basic safety exams and make sure that they were labeling things correctly on products that they were making at home. And that way farmers can use that, you know, the seconds of their crop, you know, to make salsa or pickles or jams. And instead of having to produce them and create an expensive commercial kitchen, they can literally sell them directly from their home or farmstead to consumers. So that's an example. And, you know, we have very clear examples and demonstrated businesses that have benefited from that law. We've also been working a lot on helping create renewable energy financing program opportunities in Western Colorado. We've been working hard on making sure all of our Western Slope counties are participating in the commercial property energy efficiency assessment program.
What's that?
It's called CPACE, and it's a state program that basically is extending a special line of financing to any businesses or farms, or actually like schools or any sort of industrial or large-scale building. It gives them a special type of financing for renewable and energy efficiency projects on their property. And we helped pass that in Montrose County just last year, and we actually saw one of the biggest renewable, like industrial renewable projects in Western Colorado got passed through that program and is benefiting. So, you know, we're seeing some real tangible benefits from that solution-oriented work in our communities today. And we're by far and away not the only organization working on those programs mm-hmm, in Western mm-hmm. Colorado, but we definitely want to make sure we are one of the groups working for solutions in our communities.
That sounds like a whole lot of work. And I'm wondering, what does it take to, change the organization to shift its focus just a little and to include these new sort of, you know, self-reliance, homegrown prosperity, clean energy, local food, working with local foods, local agriculture. What does it take to make that a success?
Well, it definitely takes the involvement and dedication of a lot of people in Western Colorado who believe in that common vision that our organization is putting out there. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we did without thousands of people coming together in their local communities and working for those things. So, I mean, we have a very hardworking staff of 7, but, you know, 7 people can only do so much. And, you know, our philosophy and methodology is totally 100% based in community organizing, which means working with impacted people to affect decisions over things that affect their lives. And, you know, it's really about working with folks, give them the opportunity and the skills and support they need to take action. And it's only because of literally, you know, the thousands of people in Western Colorado who worked with us over the years that we've been able to achieve the things we have. And our staff are there to help and provide training and support. But really, it is people in Western Colorado exercising their will to create these healthy, just, and self-reliant communities.
Well, Emily Hornback, how did you get involved with Western Colorado Congress?
So my story is that I grew up in a small Western Colorado town, Montezuma the town, not the county down near Cortez, but actually Montezuma is up around the Summit County area.
Oh, okay.
A town of 60 people. And I had a pretty life-defining experience growing up because my small community, you know, took on a pretty big battle, a land use battle with Interwest Ski Resort when I was a kid. And
right.
I saw my small town, you know, take on a big international company and win. And we were able to preserve a bunch of open space and around our community instead of having it be turned into condos. And that just stuck with me, I think, through my whole life. And even though I wandered a bit from, you know, left Colorado and went to school at CSU, but then left and went did some work in the broader world and in the U.S., ended up coming back really because of some work I did in Appalachia where I was working on mountaintop removal coal mining issues.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, is a huge, huge issue. You know, the worst type of strip mining you've ever seen, turning people's well water black and, all, you know, blowing up mountains. And that was a really impactful experience, not only because that's such a huge issue to mm-hmm. work on, but also is really a community-led effort from, you know, I think especially in today's era, people thinking that Appalachia is just Trump voters. Like, it's important to know that there are people struggling for the same healthy, just, you know, communities that we are. And it's, you know, the struggle against mountaintop removal is being led by folks just like us and wanting a different future. And meeting those organizers and those leaders on the ground who were fighting so hard for their home made me realize that I really loved where I was from and that those battles were happening where I grew up and I should come back to Colorado. So I found my way back and was lucky enough to find Western Colorado Congress at the time that was working with people in the place that I love to affect change and couldn't say no to that opportunity.
Right. So, yeah, the mountaintop removal, is that, that's still a huge issue in Appalachia, is it not?
It is definitely still going on. You know, with the decline of coal markets around the world, you know, permitting has slowed a little bit from its height. Just, you know, in 2008 was when I was there when it was really going gangbusters. So it's slowed, but it's still happening in Appalachia, yep.
Yeah, I talked with Mike Rozelle and Maria Gano and some people in that area in 2008 when it was really running high.
Yeah, yeah. And Maria was one of those folks who helped really inspire me and help me connect.
Oh, really?
In love of place. Yeah, I did get to meet Maria and a couple of other those really high, powerful leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, their stories are so much about protecting home and protecting the place where they're from and where they love. And, you know, there's this one fellow named Larry Gibson from West Virginia who would always look at all of the outside people coming in to support his work, and he would just look at them and say, you know, what is that place that's so sacred to you that you would sacrifice everything you have to protect it? And, you know, that what he said made me think, and I realized that I, you know, had that same love for Western Colorado and wanted to make sure it stayed the place that I loved and wasn't transformed by extraction.
Well, and that's one thing that I think in this area anyway, the Western Colorado Alliance has been working with the Grand Valley Citizens Association, or GVCA, Grand Valley Citizens Alliance.
Yeah.
GVCA and Battlement Concerned Citizens to help out the residents of Battlement Mesa against in their struggle to keep natural gas drilling away from neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been quite an issue. So what are you doing in the Uncompahgre Valley and in the Ridgeway-Ouray area?
So a lot of our work there is based on public lands, you know, making sure that our public lands are conserved for future generations, but also actually an emerging issue that we've, you know, is kind of fitting under our broader mission statement is looking at a lot of affordable housing issues, which I know is something Garfield County can also relate to.
Right.
But, you know, as Western Colorado is growing and changing, as, along with the rest of the state, housing is becoming an issue even in our rural communities. And we have been doing a lot of research and talking with a lot of people for the past about year and a half in both of those communities to see what might actually be something we can engage on in that arena. And hopefully we'll see something more concrete emerge soon. But so housing... land, and also we've been working on a youth voter initiative, which has been really exciting.
Right. Talk about that.
Yeah, this past year we had this just amazing, as with our rebranding and wanting to make sure we were engaging fully with our civic participation as an organization. We met a really awesome, motivated group of high school students, initially in Grand Junction, but then met a bunch of students across Western Colorado, really, and Garfield, Montrose, and Mesa counties, and started a program to register as many eligible seniors and high schoolers to vote, because in the state of Colorado, you can actually pre-register at 16. So we...
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some pretty great voter laws in the state of Colorado, so you can pre-register to vote at 16 years old. And so we have been working with these students, and it's really been a student-led effort, which is very in alignment with our methodology of, you know, community organizing, which is we don't lead, it's working with people who want to work on it to lead. And
right.
So these students have just really taken off in the past 6 months, and we had 30 interns in schools in three counties.
Mm-hmm.
And in Olathe, actually, we hit our goal of registering 85% of the senior class to vote, of the eligible seniors to vote.
Wow.
And they're actually going to get an award from the Secretary of State for meeting that goal. So it's just really exciting. And it was a pilot program, but it's been met with so much success and been really embraced by students and teachers alike that we're going to be growing it and expanding it. So hopefully by 2020, we'll have a Western Slope voter initiative that is active in as many Western Slope high schools as possible.
That's excellent. Were any of the seniors old enough to vote in this election?
Yes, they are. And actually, we have a really very poignant story, actually, in Olathe, where one of our interns is turning 18 on Election Day, and it's going to be his first chance to vote ever, and he sure is going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And he was someone who was so pivotal in getting so many of his other peers registered.
Well, I just want to remind listeners that I'm speaking with Emily Hornback. She is the Executive Director of Western Colorado Alliance for Community Action, which used to be called Western Colorado Congress. It's a 40-year-old organization, community organization. community organizing organization. Jeez. And, you know, when you're working with youth on the voter initiative, What are you finding that motivates teens to get involved with this?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of stereotypes in the world, and that's actually one thing that our students have been working on a lot when they do this work, is really trying to prove to their elders that their generation cares, because I think every generation deals with the generation before them thinking that they're lazy and don't care and not engaged.
Slackers, you know,
So it's not necessarily unique to this generation's experience. But, you know, there's a lot that people say about millennials and Gen Z, you know, as they're called. But they are the largest voting bloc in the country behind baby boomers, and they know that. You know, a lot of these students are very aware of the power that they can wield in the ballot box if they can get their students up and motivated to vote. I definitely think that part of this particular group of students, the initial group that we started working with, they were very motivated around the school shootings issue, and that's not something Western Colorado Alliance has traditionally worked on. But, you know, the March for Our Lives movement brought students out of their classrooms all across Western Colorado, just as much
that's
as
right.
in the big cities. Mm-hmm. And we really saw some of the student leaders emerge from that, and they quickly realized that they needed to work on a lot of different levels if they wanted to affect change on big things like gun issues, you know. And they are working on much broader things, but just as that is kind of a galvanizing issue that organized a lot of youth this year and the past year, it brought them out, and they have been out there just engaging students on those things. And they have talked about building a platform on everything from guns to environment to climate change and to education financing. So they're a very educated and motivated young group of people.
That's excellent. Do you find that they're more issue-oriented or party-oriented?
Well, this group of students that we're working with are nonpartisan, and they are actually, the interns represent a whole variety of political views. So they're definitely coming together around issues that they feel in common, and it's not about party.
Right. You know, I wanted to ask you in just the few minutes that we have left, how is Western Colorado Alliance working with the Hispanic and immigrant community? I mean, locally, Wilderness Workshop has an organizer dedicated to helping Hispanics and the immigrant community get involved in public lands issues, and I'm wondering what Western Colorado Alliance is doing in that area.
Yep. And I think we have a, we definitely are working on building those relationships with folks in our communities because they're our community, right? And as a community organizing group, we have to represent our whole community. I think we have a slightly different approach just because we're so multi-issue. You know, we're not just working on public lands, that actually our work and engagement is a lot through building partnerships. You know, we have a very strong partnering organization that almost exactly overlaps a lot of our core geography, which is the Hispanic Affairs Project. And they're very active in Ouray and Montrose and Mesa County and have some presence in Garfield, but there's some other groups that work more in the Roaring Fork Valley.
What is the name of that group again? Hispanic?
They're called the Hispanic Affairs Project. And they're based out of Montrose. But they work in Gunnison and a number of places in Western Colorado. Mm. So we have been more of an ally and partner with them and finding common issues like housing or health equity, mm-hmm. Where we partner and bring our memberships together to affect change on those issues. But our organization is also a member group of the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we have standing policy in support of humane and comprehensive immigration reform.
Mm-hmm.
So we have taken action with CIRC and Hispanic Affairs Project on things like the DREAM Act, where we've helped organize rallies in Grand Junction and worked, again, with our seniors, actually, with some of our youth voters who are dreamers themselves, you know, to try to find a pathway to citizenship for these mm-hmm. students.
Great. That's really interesting. I've not heard of the Hispanic Affairs Project. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, they're a great group.
Mm-hmm.
And they affect really awesome change and came out of the Catholic Church here in Grand Junction, but have been their own strong 501c3 for a number of years.
Oh, I'll have to check into that. Well, Emily Hornback, how can people get involved with Western Colorado Alliance? We have about 3 minutes left.
Well, I mean, we have so many different ways people can get involved. You know, what your issue is, where you are. We, mm-hmm. you know, we are happy to meet with you where you're at, see what you're interested in, and go from there. So we would encourage folks to reach out to us at our website, which is just westerncoloradoalliance.org. And we have, you know, three organizers that cover our main geographies, and we'd love to sit down and have a conversation, hear what's on your mind, hear what's going on in the community,
mm-hmm.
and see where our interests may meet and how we can work together.
Western Colorado Alliance, all one word, .org. It's a great website. I really enjoyed reading through that today. You know, I guess I'm wondering, Western Colorado Alliance is looking at a lot of different issues across Western Colorado. And I'm wondering what you personally, do you have a favorite issue, or do you have an issue that, do you think an issue is particularly urgent in Western Colorado now?
Oh my. I mean, I think all the issues we've
all of it, yeah.
Pretty urgent, you know, and with the election coming up, you know, we got some pretty important ballot initiatives that we're rooting for and working for. However, if I think, you know, if I was going to choose, I would, you know, our work for building a homegrown prosperity in Western Colorado is really very important to me, because it's important to play defense. It's important to fight against bad projects. You know, like the work that we're doing in Battlement Mesa is critical because people's lives and livelihoods are on the line.
Right.
You know, and we will be there always for people when we need to fight what we consider to be irresponsible and bad projects.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, we also want to be not just an oppositional figure in our communities. We want to show our local elected leaders and folks that we will roll up our sleeves and put in sweat equity on figuring out, like, a positive future for our areas, too, that create jobs, that create revenue for local government,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and that we're really here to be problem solvers. And I think maybe one of the more innovative things that we're working on in alliance with a number of groups across the country is specifically tackling the issue of, you know, declining coal revenue in
right.
places where that's been going on for a long time.
Well, we're about out of time. I'm sorry. Thank you very much for joining me. We've been talking with Emily Hornback, Executive Director of Western Colorado Alliance in Grand Junction. Thanks a lot, Emily. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Amy.